Good evening.
Good evening.
Great to be back with you tonight. Appreciate you being back tonight so that we can study God's Word together. This morning we began a study looking at the idea of walking worthy. And we said in the Bible many times when we see the concept of walking, it's not talking about the physical act, but more talking about the idea of our manner of life. And as we think about walking worthy, we talked about several different areas in which we can walk worthy. And tonight we want to continue kind of that theme, but talk more in lines of walking with God. In Genesis chapter 5, in verses 21 through 24, we're told of a man by the name of Enoch. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years. And had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, as we'll notice here in a little while, when we get to our second point, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, we realize that what that means here in this passage is that Enoch did not die. God took him before he saw death. But we see here that the thing about Enoch was he walked with God. His life was a life that was lived in such a manner that he was with God his entire life. And as we think about this concept of walking with God, there are three things that are required if we're going to walk with him. Three things that we need to make sure that we have. Number one tonight, walking with God takes agreement. Walking with God takes agreement. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, Amos makes a statement, and we've looked at this statement before, but Amos says, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" Now, Amos doesn't wait for an answer because the question Amos asked is rhetorical. You and I know the answer automatically. The answer to that question is no. If two people are going to walk together, if they're going to walk hand in hand, then they have to walk in the same direction in order to do so. They have to be agreed on the direction that they're walking, on the destination to which they are walking. Agreement is essential if that unity is going to exist and if they are going to be able to walk together. If person A says, "I'm going this way," and person B says, "I'm going that way," and neither one is willing to bend to the other one's will, then guess what? They can't walk together, can they? And so agreement is essential if two individuals are going to walk together. And such is the case if you and I want to walk with God. Friends, agreement is essential. If we're going to walk with God, we have to agree with Him. Now, this isn't a situation like the one we just mentioned where one, either person A can bend to the will of person B or person B can bend to the will of person A, because in this situation, we have a superior being, all right? And so it's not God, if we're going to walk together, that He has to bend to my will. If we're going to walk together with God, I have to bend to His will. Have you ever heard someone say, "I know what the Bible says, but..." And then you can take it from there. Well, friends, if we're going to walk with God, that statement doesn't exist. It's not, "I know what the Bible says, but here's what I want to do." It's, "Here's what God says, and that's what I'm going to do." If we're going to walk with God, we have to agree with what His Word says. My life has to be a life that agrees with the Word of God. And that's an ever-changing process. That's a growing process. I hope it's the fact at 44... that I'm at a different spot in my knowledge and my understanding of the Bible than I was at 34, than I was at 24. And I hope at 54, if God grants me another decade of life, I hope at 54 that I'm at a better spot than I am right now at 44. You see, that process of understanding God's Word, it's a growing process because we continue to study, we continue to learn, we continue to grow. The question is really, how do I react? When I study the Bible and I learn that something that I'm doing isn't right, or an attitude that I have is not an attitude that I should have, That an action is not something that it should be, or there are things that I'm not doing that I should be doing. How do I react then? Do I get angry and refuse to change? Or do I change my life to go along with what God requires? The preacher preaches on a particular sin. Maybe it's something that I struggle with. Do I get angry and stomp away? Do I have some mean comment to make on my way out? Or do I recognize that's what God's Word says? And if I'm going to live a life that's pleasing to God, then I have to agree with what He says. You see, friends, it's the second one. That means we're living a life that's in agreement with God. That we're living a life that recognizes that His Word, that He is the authority. If we're going to walk with God as Enoch did, then you and I need to make sure that we are agreeing with what God says. Number one tonight, walking with God, it takes agreement. Number two, walking with God takes action. Walking with God takes action. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, the Hebrew writer brings up Enoch as an example of these great heroes of faith. And he says, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God." As we noticed in Genesis 5, Enoch was someone who walked with God. His life was a life that was lived in agreement with God. But also it was a life that was a life of action. Notice the statement in the beginning, "By faith Enoch did these things." And as we've talked about many times from Hebrews chapter 11, we see that construction over and over again. But it's this, by faith someone did something. The biblical faith, the faith that we see in the book of Hebrews, and the faith that we see throughout the Bible, is not a dead faith. It's an active faith. It is a faith that acts. In James chapter 2 and verse 17, verse 20, and verse 26, James says that faith without works is dead. A faith without action, James says, is a dead faith. That's not what Enoch has, though, was it? Enoch's faith was definitely not a dead faith, because it was a faith that was pleasing to God. And so we know that his faith was an active faith. It was a working faith. And because of his action, he was able to walk with God. Friends, if we're going to walk with God, it's going to require some work on our part. Christianity is not a spectator sport. You can't sit on the sidelines and watch and be a faithful child of God. That's not how Christianity is designed. That's not how it works. And you can be a spectator in a lot of different things, but not in living the Christian life. Christianity requires that we work, that we're active, that we're striving to live faithfully. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, a passage of scripture we noticed just this past week, Solomon says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." Solomon said, this is what we're all about. Fearing God, keeping His commandments. Neither one of those things is passive, y'all. Both of those things are actions. Fearing, reverencing God, that requires action. That requires work. Keeping His commandments, that requires action, that requires work. As we said this morning, we can't be a one-day-a-week Christian and be pleasing to the God of heaven. Christianity is something that we're to live day in and day out. Notice Enoch, 300 years, 65 more. And the statement that God makes about Enoch is that he walked with him that entire time. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, James says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, notice the statement here. He says if you're just a hearer of the word, you're deceiving yourself. You're convincing yourself that coming here, listening to a sermon, hey, I've done what I'm supposed to do. And James says, you know what you're doing? You're deceiving yourself when you do that. He says, there's more to it than that. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. This individual looks in the mirror, they see something that's off. Maybe it's a woman, she notices some of her makeup's off. Maybe a guy notices he's got a cowlick sticking up. Whatever it is, they look in the mirror, they see what's wrong, they see what needs to be corrected. But he says the individual who just hears God's word and doesn't do it is like the man or woman who sees that, they turn away and immediately they forget what they just saw. They forget the thing that needed to be corrected and they do nothing about it. Instead, he says in verse 25, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. James says the person I'm talking about is the person who picks up this book and he looks into it and he looks at his life, the reflection of his life against that word. And if he sees something in his life that doesn't match up with what that book says, he changes it. He recognizes there's something that needs to be done here. I need to stop doing this, or I need to start doing that. I need to change the way I'm thinking about this. He makes that change. Friends, that's living out the Christian life. If we're going to walk with God, it takes effort. It takes action on our part. Walking with God, it requires agreement. It requires action. And finally, number three tonight, walking with God takes attitude. It takes attitude. The attitude I'm talking about here is an attitude that says, I won't give up. It's an attitude that firmly plants its feet and says, this is how I'm going to live. And I'm not going to allow to Satan to push me around and stop me. Y'all, is it incorrect to say that the Christian life is a difficult life sometimes? It's a true statement, isn't it? I mean, let's be real. It would be a whole lot easier just to drop all of it and just go with whatever. Right? I mean, that would be easier. Are y'all awake out there? Okay. Yeah, that would be easier, right? Wouldn't be right, but it would be easier. Christian life's difficult sometimes. It comes with some heartache and some headaches. But y'all, here's the thing about the Christian life. While it might not always be the easiest life, it is absolutely the best life. And it is the only life that has heaven as its final destination. I promise you, it will be worth it. Friends, it will. Even with all the things that you deal with, in the end, it will be worth it. You don't have to take my word for it. I didn't put this one in my notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I think we're going to be around verse 17. I'll tell you in just a minute. Verse 16 starting. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, this is Paul writing the church at Corinth, he says our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction, notice what he calls everything that he's dealing with, light momentary affliction, all the difficulties, all the heartaches, all the problems that you deal with that come as a result of living the Christian life, friends, ultimately it is light, momentary affliction. Paul, how in the world can you say that? It is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, he says. As we look not on the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. They're temporary. Everything in this world, y'all, that's temporary. Nothing wrong with enjoying the things of this world, but realize what they are. They're temporary. So you're looking past those, Paul. What are you looking at? But the things that are unseen? He said those are eternal. That's where his focus is. That's his attitude. All of this stuff that I'm dealing with, it's temporary, but heaven's eternal. Being with God and Jesus, that's going to be eternal. We need this attitude of not giving up, of continuing to move forward. Back to Genesis 5, Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years. This wasn't a one-day thing in Enoch's life. This wasn't a one-year thing in Enoch's life. This was day in, day out, day after day, year after year, striving to walk with God. Friends, you do not retire from Christianity while here on this earth. Heard a preacher say one time, y'all, Christianity, the retirement benefits are out of this world. That's so very true. Friends, heaven awaits, but only for those who walk with God. Only for those who don't give up. Only for those who keep trying. In Revelation 2:10, John writes, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation." John, what are you saying? Some hard stuff's coming. Some difficult days are on the horizon. Your faith's going to be tested. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Friends, if we're going to walk with God, and we're going to walk with Him all the way to the steps of heaven, then we have to have an attitude that never gives up. Walking with God, it takes agreement, it takes action, it takes the proper attitude. But the question for us tonight is, are you walking with God this evening? Friend, if you're not a Christian, will you begin that walk tonight? Believing in Jesus, turning from sin, confessing that belief, putting Christ on in baptism, or looking out. Many of you I know have done that. You are a Christian, but you haven't been walking with Him. Why not change that tonight? Renew that walk. And be like Enoch. Continue to walk till God takes you home. Need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.